This is week 4, class 2 of understanding dreams and visions. Now, again, we're not going to go through the entire list of symbols that are listed here in your syllabus. You can read through that and become familiar with it and keep it handy as a guideline. So go ahead and turn over to page 19. And again, it says there toward the bottom, point number 2, the above list is simply a guideline. Do not put more faith in this list than in what God will show you, because it's very possible God will show you something about a dream that totally contradicts everything as far as the symbolism is concerned in your dream and what this list would describe it as meaning. So you always, always are going to want to rely on God and receive from Him. And it may take a while before you get the interpretation of a dream, but you always go with what He has to say. And He may confirm to you that the symbolism described in this list and what you had in your dream and all may be exactly right. Now let's talk about interpreting your dreams. Follow the instructions under point F on page 10 of this syllabus. Now turn back to page 10 real briefly. Let's look at it. Point F, where it says about waking up and not to use a blaring alarm clock and so forth. Lay in bed a little longer, because right then is when your brain is going through the change of sleep and awake. And that's when you're going to be more conscious of a dream that you were having at that time and can begin to retain and recall some of the details about that. The more you think about it, the more details you may recall. And then start either with a tape recorder or a notepad, write down or somehow record your dream. And if you do record it on tape, then later on go back and transcribe it to written form. It's very, very important. And as you're writing it out, as you're transcribing it, always pray in the Holy Spirit, because He can help bring to your remembrance more details about that dream. And always insert those details where they go. Don't, at the end of what you first wrote, add more things. Do your best to keep it. That's why sometimes it's better to do it on a computer if you can. But by keeping it in order, then you're going to retain the flow of that dream. Keep in mind that most of your dreams will concern you and your life as opposed to other people and their lives. Now, sometimes what happens is people have dreams and people they know are in those dreams, and so they may begin to assume, well, this dream must be for somebody else. Well, it may be, but nearly all of your dreams are going to be relative to you, not someone else. And that's why if you have a dream about somebody, don't immediately jump to the conclusion that you're to go to that person and say, the Lord gave me this dream and it's about you. Well, no, that person may be representing something or someone else in your life. And again, it's important to pray about it to get the interpretation. You may have a dream where someone you know and trust hurts you. Well, if you don't watch out, you may wake up thinking, aha, God showed me that this person is going to turn their back on me. Well, maybe not. That person in your dream that you trust may be symbolic of somebody or something else in your dream that you trust. That's why it's important not to jump to hasty conclusions concerning your dreams. But again, practically all of your dreams are going to be about you and not something or someone else. Before comparing the symbols in your dreams with the explanations listed, pray about your dream. The symbols may mean something different from the list. Now, here's why you should pray about it before going to the list. It's because if you go to the list first, that might predispose you to a specific interpretation that's incorrect. Pray about it first, and God may say, look, you need to go to that list and identify some of these symbols. Or He may say, do not go to that list. Wait on Me. Eventually you're going to get the interpretation. You say, okay, God, I'm happy with that. And you can leave it at that. And it could be a period of time before you get the interpretation. Nevertheless, always pray about it before you go to the list to try and interpret. Do not force the interpretation. You will probably be wrong. Remember the dream I shared with you in the first session about my mom, the lizard, the whole nine yards, and how it took about 15, 16 years before I finally got the full understanding of what that dream represented. If I had jumped to an interpretation, I could have made that dream to sound, make off. Think about it. Here's my mom, and she transforms into this demon that looks like a lizard kind of a, if I had jumped to conclusions, I could have run over to mom's house and tried to cast a devil out of her. You see what I'm saying? But I waited, because I knew there was something about that event in my life. And it took years before, and once the interpretation came, it was like, the whole thing was just picture perfect clear to me. I understood it as much as I know I'm standing here tonight. So don't jump to conclusions about the interpretation of your dreams. One thing about it, when a dream is correctly interpreted, it is going to bear witness with your spirit. And you're going to understand, not simply a mental agreement, but on the inside, if it's a spiritual dream now, on the inside, there will be a bearing witness that this is correct. Do not assume that your dreams are always prophetical about your future. That's not always true. Now, if a dream that is about you is somehow going to deal with the future, even if that dream is explaining to you something that happened in your past, what happens in your past has a bearing on your future. You know what I'm saying? But what I mean by this statement here is, don't always assume that every dream is that which is to come. You see what I'm saying? It could be. It really could be. But what you're going to find in the body of Christ, there are some people, they love the Lord, and they're really wanting to do their best, but they're kind of out there on the fringe, and everything is prophetical. Everything is, you know, that which is to come and so forth. And you don't need to be playing around in that ball field. It could be prophetical. Then again, it may not be. So always, again, go back to the Lord and give Him the time that He needs so that you can receive the correct interpretation. Many, if not most, of your dreams will be relative to current situations. What's going on in your life right now? Or maybe we could say the near future or something like that. Things that you're facing and so on and so forth. Now, if you believe a dream has a spiritual message, it must line up with Scripture. It must line up with Scripture, okay? Which goes along with the very next point in the outline. A dream from God will never indicate that you are to sin. Oh, I had a dream last night, Brother Martin. You did. Oh, yeah. It was from God. No kidding. What did God tell you in this dream? He told me that I am supposed to marry Susie or Bob. He said, well, now, wait a minute. Susie's married to Tom and Bob's married to Jane. Okay. Oh, no, Brother Martin, God showed me in a dream that I'm supposed to marry them. So I guess then God's supposed to make that couple get divorced so you can marry that person you had. I just know. And then the dummy runs up to Bob or Sue and says, the Lord showed me in a dream that we're supposed to get married. Well, you say that to Sue and Tom's standing by and Tom's liable to lay you out. And then repent later. God will not tell you to sin in a dream. You will never, ever, ever get a spiritual dream that in any way, shape, or form indicates you are to go against the Word of God. It won't happen. And if somebody comes to you and tells you they had a dream and they interpret that dream and you know it does not line up with the Word of God, dismiss it. Don't agree with them. Now, I'm not saying you start an argument with them because they're convinced. Tell them, well, you know, pray about that some more. Maybe there's some more about that dream God wants to show you. But God will never give you a dream that tells you to go in the opposite direction of what His Word has to say. In spite of what the flaky people out there would tell you, it won't ever happen. If the dream is relative to warning, correction, or instruction, pay attention. Pay attention. You say, well, how will I know if it's relative to these things? Well, very simple. You pray and ask God. And the symbols may help you out. But pray and ask God. Some of the dreams, the symbolism, remember the one I told you about the snake and the pastor and all that? Well, I woke up and I knew what that represented. I knew exactly what the interpretation of that was. And some of the dreams that you have relative... Well, now think about this. That dream about the snake and the pastor, you know, indirectly, that was a warning to me. You see what I'm saying? It's like God was saying, here's what's going on, you know, there. Don't get all caught up in this. But that's not the specific interpretation, but I could have used it as a warning. You know what I'm saying? Well, likewise, if you have a dream that is a warning, it is a correction or whatever, don't dismiss it, act on it. You know, okay, God, I'm going to do this now. You know, like, jump, how high? Okay, God, I'm going to act on this. How soon? You know what, 2 minutes from now? 3 seconds from now? I mean, what, God? You tell me. I'm not going to get out of your timing, but I will do this right now. I'll change it. Now, here's the challenging part, though. If you're in a position of leadership and ministry, and God is correcting something through a dream, acting on it could cost you your church if you're a pastor. You say, well, how could that be? Okay, here's an illustration. Let's say that you pastor a church, you've got a radio ministry, and you've been pastoring for 35 years, radio ministry for 30 years, you're on all kinds of stations, the church is 2,000, whatever, but for years you've been preaching, healing's not for today, healing's not for today, healing's not for today. And all of a sudden, God shows you in a dream, excuse me, but by my son's stripes, you were healed and healing is for today. I mean, in this dream, there's no doubt about it. And you wake up in a cold sweat because suddenly you realize what you have been preaching for 35 years is wrong. Now, what are you going to do? God has just corrected you in a dream. If you stand up and you say, folks, the Lord showed me in a dream last night that what I've been preaching for 35 years is wrong concerning healing, what's going to go through some of the minds of the people in that church? Yeah, wonder what motivated that dream. Pastor been toking a little bit on the side, And you can probably count on the elders, council, whatever, of the church wanting to talk with you about this sudden change of direction. You need to pray this through. Brethren, if you'd had the dream I had, you would know no prayer is necessary. This thing was of God. Well, depending upon the structure of the church, you could be out very, very quickly. Lose your credentials. I mean the whole nine yards. That is the downside to obeying God. But you know what? When you do that, if the people reject what you're trying to do, is that not a type of the dream I had, the fenced area and the people walking out? Is it very? See what I'm saying? Well, if you are corrected in a dream, that, listen, you better not delay in doing what God's telling you to do. It's serious enough in your life. God's trying to deal with it, and He wants you to obey. Remember, Daniel obeyed and got thrown into a lion's den, but God protected him. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they obeyed God and got thrown into the fiery furnace. God was there protecting. I mean, on and on it goes. We have examples of this. But you know what? Paul made the statement, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." In other words, we should be ready to obey no matter what it costs us. If God corrects us and gives us direction, all warnings, whatever, heed it, do it, follow it, obey it, because He's got a plan for your life, and He's going to take you from where you are, if leaving where you are is included in this, or that's the result. He will be there for you. Trust me, obedience is better than sacrifice. You obey. Yeah, it may look like it's costing you, but in the end, it hasn't cost you anything. You have gained. Praise God. Dreams are quite reliable, tending to deal with what is really going on. Now, let me kind of expand on this for a little bit here. Your dreams are generally more reliable than your emotions. Now, here's what I mean. Your emotions can cloud your judgment. We all know, we've experienced this. Our emotions can cloud our judgment to the point to where we can want something so bad we can convince ourselves it's of God. But our dreams usually aren't clouded by such a thing. They're usually going to be very blunt with you, even if it's in the symbolism. They'll usually go directly to the point. Yeah, the emotions want this thing, but the dream may show you the disaster that lays ahead. Or in other words, why this thing is not for you. why you don't need it, shouldn't have it, don't want to be there, go there, or whatever it would be. Dreams are usually not clouded by the emotions that can drive people to certain decisions. Now, that's not always true, because you can be so emotionally caught up in something, those emotions can stimulate a dream. But generally speaking, your dreams are going to be more reliable dealing with the truth of a situation as opposed to what your emotions would tell you. If the dream is not easily interpreted, keep it on file and review it occasionally. And then keep a dream journal for future reference. This is a good thing to do. Just, you know, like a notebook or whatever it would be, keep your dreams in there. And this last point here in this section, do not attempt to establish yourself as an interpreter of other people's dreams. Man, I'm telling you, there are some people that have always got the word from God for you. And now listen, remember Joseph and Daniel? God used them to interpret dreams. There are people out there that God uses them in this way. But just because you've gone through this course and you have this little guideline on the inside, you know, symbols, and somebody says, well, you know, I had this dream. You say, whoop, hold on, let me get my syllabus. Okay, I can tell you what that dream meant. You know, maybe you can, maybe you can't. Don't esteem yourself more highly than you ought. Okay? We're learning in this. In fact, I read someplace that it can take at least 5 years for a person to become proficient in interpreting dreams. That's, you know, through the symbolism and so forth. So we are not experts here tonight. Every now and then I've had people share dreams with me and I knew what the dream was about and I could tell them. But I've had other people share dreams with me, I don't have a clue. And I have to tell them, well, I don't know. I mean, if God lets me know, then I can tell you, but I don't have a clue what to, you know, pray about this and ask God to help you out. And then another thing, repeated dreams. You ever had dreams that it's like over and over again, you have the same kind of a dream? Don't dismiss such a thing. There's a message in there somewhere. Every now and then there will be more details in the dream. Every now, it's like maybe in your dream, example, you run 30 feet and that's the end of the dream. And the next time you have the dream, 30 feet and that's the end of the dream, 30 feet. Well then, 2 years go by and you've had this dream like every 4 or 5 months. And then all of a sudden, now instead of 30 feet, you're running 50 feet. Okay, now something's changed in that dream, which represents something has changed in your life, but the foundational meaning of that dream is still going to be the same. You may not know what that is, but through prayer, speaking to the Lord about it, using maybe the reference guide here for the symbols, you may be able to come to the understanding of what that dream is about. And even if you go through the symbols and you see, okay, well, this symbol means this, this means this, this means that. Okay, now, how does that relate to what's going on in my life? Can I see this representation taking place? Now, God, this is what it looks like to me. If this is wrong, go ahead and correct me, it's okay. But this seems to be what's going on. Now, God will help you understand if you're right or wrong as far as your interpretation is concerned. Again, you know, you've heard the term slow and steady wins the race. Well, be patient with yourself when it comes to interpreting your dreams. And again, don't try to set yourself up as an expert. Interpreting visions. Visions take place while a person is awake. Now, the term night vision is generally accepted, again, as making reference to a dream. Visions are not usually filled with as much symbolism as dreams. Visions are usually more distinct and easily understood. Visions are rarely a result of food, drugs, or alcohol, but take note, drug-induced hallucinations are not the same as visions. All right? Now, let's stop here for a moment and talk about this. There are people who have been heavy into drugs, and as they have taken the drugs, whatever the drugs would be, you know, acid or whatever, that have become Christians later on. They talk about how that when they would take the drugs, they would begin to, they maybe would use the term hallucinations, but they weren't always hallucinations, because I've heard the stories of You know, well, we would be doing our drugs and I would start seeing things and I could start seeing the demons as they were influencing people or hanging around people or hanging on people or doing this or doing that. I could see into the realm of the spirit. Now, there is something about mind-altering drugs that can sometimes cause people to begin to see into the realm of the spirit. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I have no understanding about that whatsoever. I cannot give you a clear explanation as to why that is. I just know that it can happen. Not just from testimony, but from personal experience. And I'll share with you tonight what I rarely ever share with people, because there are too many goofballs out there who would try to replicate what happened to me. I was with some friends, and we were in a buddy's garage, and we were sniffing something, and I'm not going to tell you what it was, because again, there are too many goofies out there that would run and try to replicate it. We were sniffing something, and we would take our turns sniffing, and I was really starting to feel the effects. And it was my turn, and I started inhaling as hard as I could inhale. And I wasn't just through my nose. I literally wrapped my mouth around the container of this stuff and was sucking as hard as I possibly could to get this substance into my lungs. Well, I looked up, and when I looked up, everything in the garage, everything, was as red as the ribbon on that wreath back there hanging on the wall. Everything was that red. I'm talking the floor, the walls, the ceiling, the people, their hair, their skin. And there's only about four or five of us in there, but I mean, literally everything in that room was red. Well, you know, common sense says, maybe you should stop now. But when you're really getting a good buzz, you don't want to stop. And so I went back, and I am sucking as hard as I can to get these stuff into me. And as I'm doing it, I'm, you know, kind of bent over, and I noticed something moving over to my left. But there wasn't supposed to be anybody over there. And so I looked up and I looked over, and I saw death. Now, you know, you've seen the images of the Grim Reaper. Guys, I'm telling you, that is what this thing looks like. I've seen it. This was not a hallucination. I know it wasn't. And it walked, it was in the garage, and it was walking toward the wall in the garage, and I looked over there, and the wall, a section of the wall, completely disappeared. And in its place was an arched doorway. And I didn't think about it until tonight, but it was the same arched doorway that I saw in that dream where the people were going down the steps. I just made that connection tonight thinking about this. There was an arched doorway, and on the left and on the right of the arched doorway was the garage wall, but the arched doorway itself was pure blackness. No light even penetrated into it. All light stopped right at that doorway. And as death, that Grim Reaper looking thing, was walking, and he had a sickle in his left hand, he was walking toward it, and then all of a sudden he stopped. And he looked toward me, and he stretched out his hand and began beckoning me to follow him. Well, somehow on the inside of me, I knew that if I took I was frozen. But somehow on the inside of me, I knew that if I were to take a step toward that thing, that my spirit was going to be stepping out of my body. I would die, and I would follow this thing into that darkness. Well, I didn't move. And it stood there beckoning me. Now, I couldn't see its face for the hood, but the hand was that bony looking hand stretched out from the sleeve, and it was beckoning me to follow it. And when I wouldn't follow it, it put its hand down to the side and walked into that arched doorway, into that blackness. And the moment that it passed into the blackness, the archway completely disappeared and the wall came back of the garage. Now, I know some people would say, well, that was just a hallucination. No, it was real. I know of another person who's had a similar experience, but it was not related to drugs. He was in Korea in the war, and I forget whether he was... something blew up, a grenade or something blew up. He was injured, and the medics were on the way, but he was bleeding profusely, and he was very close to death. They kept him alive long enough for the medics to get there, and the medics took over from that point, and I guess they loaded him on a helicopter and took him. They saved his life, but he was very, very close to death. And he says, as I was laying there, you know, he could hear things going on around him, but all of a sudden he saw the same thing that I saw, and it was motioning for him to come, to follow him. Same thing it did to me. Now, here's what's interesting. The man that I'm speaking of does not know that I experienced this. I never told him. But he shares almost the same story. It has nothing to do with drugs. But he was that close to death because of an injury in the war. Well, again, somebody could say it was a hallucination. No, let me tell you a hallucination. I have two friends that were doing acid one time. And as they sat at a table in this particular bar, they were doing their acid, and the acid began to have its effect on them. He said we could take our hands and put our hands on the corner of the table, and we could squeeze the table and squeeze it between our fingers. Well, they weren't really squeezing that table, but the acid was influencing their perception. And you know how it is? If you squeeze something, you can feel the pressure. Well, the brain was interpreting the pressure as causing the table to squish between their fingers. All right, that's a hallucination. What happened to me was not a hallucination. That was a vision, and it was very real, and I know what it was. I was that close to death. And I thank God that whatever it was, I mean, I know it was God involved somehow, but I had the sense, even in that induced stupor, I had the sense to realize, I mean, guys, I'm telling you, I know that if I had taken one step, I would have stepped out of my body, my spirit would have stepped out of my body, and they would have found me dead in that garage. Thank God I didn't do it. Thank God I didn't do it. This stuff is very real. Now, I'm not trying to scare anybody. Visions aren't all like that. There are spiritual visions as well, godly visions, visions that God will give you about things. And there have been times when I've had visions about things that I was supposed to pray about, not as clear or distinct as what some people talk about visions they've had, but I have had visions of things that I was supposed to pray about. And some of these visions, the ones that I've had usually, are very instantaneous, very brief. They don't last more than maybe a couple of seconds, and they're gone. But it's something that I'm supposed to pray about or something I'm supposed to deal with. Visions can often involve future events. Now, it seems like, and I'm not going to create doctrine here, but it seems like visions deal more with the future tense, that which is to come events, than what dreams do. Now, visions also deal with things that are relative for the now, but it seems like more future events are revealed through visions than dreams. But again, we're not creating doctrine. That's just a perception that seems to come through here. Now, let's talk about this one. Can dead people appear in dreams and visions? Well, think of it this way. People are spirits that are temporarily housed in a flesh body. When the body ceases to function, the spirit leaves. Thus, the very perception of dead people appearing in dreams would probably be best termed as seeing a person in the spirit realm. Now, let's make a distinction here. It is possible to have dreams about people who have died. But there is a difference between having a dream about a person who has died and encountering a dead person in your dream. Does that make any sense? You can dream about somebody who's dead and gone. Let's put it another way. There's a difference between dreaming about somebody who's dead and interacting with someone who is dead. Okay? There is a difference between the two. Now let's see if we can clarify this a little bit more. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 18, first off. Deuteronomy 18. Let's look here in verse 9. It says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so." Now let's summarize what's described here, okay? I mean, we could go in and give definitions for divination, observer of times, charmer, wizard, and all this other stuff. But let's just summarize all of what's described. Looking to the negative side of the realm of the spirit, okay? That's one way we could summarize it. Turning to devils instead of God. That's another way that we could summarize it. The observer of times, we could simplify that one and just call it astrology. Looking for guidance from the stars as opposed to guidance from the Lord. Now, someone could come along and say, "Well, yeah, but that was under the law, Brother Martin. That's not for us today." Excuse me. Let's think about this for a moment. We're born again. We have access to the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, and now it's okay for us to go to diviners. Do you know that there are Christians that go to fortune tellers? Christians that play with the tarot cards, Christians that read the horoscope every day, Christians that are into this kind of stuff. Where on God's green earth do you find any kind of scripture to substantiate that kind of activity? It is not of God. Here's the thing about it. If you have somebody who, when you start interacting with God, you're not going to want to go to these things. When you start receiving direction from God, you're not going to want to go to astrology, the horoscope, to the witchy woman and all this other. You're not going to want to do this because you're going to understand how wonderful it is to be able to spend that time in the presence of God and come away from that time having received direction from Him. Why in the world would you want to turn to something else? Why would you want to put your faith and these other things? And this is one of the things that caused the downfall of Israel on more than one occasion. They started doing this. They weren't even born again. And God said, "No, this is wrong. It leads you down the wrong path." Well, now here we are, born again. We have the life and the nature of God on the inside of us, and there is absolutely no way, scripturally or common sense-wise, that we can substantiate doing any of these things. Now here's the crazy thing about it. I have encountered Christians who literally will get hot under the collar in a discussion along these lines, defending that it's okay to do this stuff. It doesn't mean anything. It can actually help you. Wrong, as Gomer would say, wrong, wrong, wrong. There is no way in Scripture that you... Hey, okay, if it were right... Now listen to me. Remember in the book of Acts, they went into, Philippi, I think, Macedonia. It was Paul and others were with him. He's preaching. And remember the little girl that had the familiar spirit? And she would tell people's fortunes and futures, and her owners were making money off of her? Okay? Now, if it were okay to do that, why would Paul have cast that out? Are you with me? Why wouldn't Paul said, "Sweetheart, sit down, tell me my future"? Tell me what thus saith the Lord. No, he turned around and he says, come out in the name of Jesus. Well, now, if this is the way God does things, he would have never instructed Paul to cast that thing out. You say, well, now, maybe God didn't instruct Paul to cast it. Maybe he took it upon himself to do this. All right, well, if he took it upon himself to do it and it wasn't of God, then why did God anoint his words with power so that that devil had to come out? Are you with me? So it's not right to do this. It's terribly, terribly wrong for Christians to do this. Now, necromancy includes communicating with the dead. All right, today you might call it a seance. Well, I want to talk to dear Uncle Joe and find out where he hid the buried treasure. You know, let's all join hands and call Brother Joe, Sister Joe, you know, Aunt Susie, whatever. Christians are to communicate with God, not the dead. Why would you want to try to conjure up Grandma? You know, leave her alone. If she was grumpy then, she'll be grumpy now. Probably even worse. Leave her alone. Don't try to conjure up Grandma, Grandpa, or anybody else. If we seek to contact the dead, demons will gladly accommodate. Can you imagine what a time devils must have watching as people try to contact their dead relatives to call them back up? I mean, look. If I were a devil, I'd be more than happy to try and accommodate you. And you say, well, yeah, and you know, you hear the stories, but they knew. Of course they knew. They're devils. They live in the realm of the spirit. They know what Uncle Joe did his whole life. They know what he wore. They can give you all kinds of details about Uncle Joe. And then you walk away and say, oh, well, that was Uncle Joe. Why, he knew all the intimate details. Well, of course he did. Because those devils have been watching. So why should it surprise us that some devil spirit that, you know, figuratively speaking, puts on an Uncle Joe mask and tries to appear and starts telling you things, why should it surprise you that they would know things? Well, some folks are so... And can you imagine the devils, what a heyday they have on that? I'm going to get some Uncle Joe makeup and put it on. They're calling for Uncle Joe. Let me do it this time. I want to be Uncle Joe. Crazy stuff, man. Crazy stuff. But now here's the interesting thing about it. Nevertheless, Scripture does not clearly state that we cannot see the dead in dreams or visions. Now, I know right here this kind of a statement is going to meet with a lot of criticism from people, but I challenge anyone to show me in Scripture where it says that we cannot see the dead in dreams or visions. I didn't say that Scripture says we will. I said show me in Scripture where it says we cannot or that it will never happen. Now, I can't find anything in the Word that says that it won't happen. Now, what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a break early, come back in about 8 minutes. We're going to pick up here and finish off for tonight and for the course. Glory to God. So we'll see you back in about 7 minutes.